Cosmic Mind. It's That's Life with Mark Snyder. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Mark.
Online with us right now is Raimundo Sanchez. He's the author of a really cool book. It's called My Bloody Life. You know, years ago you might have read Soul on Ice by Eldridge Cleaver and told you a story about growing up black. This one over here is a little bit about the Puerto Ricans on the street, and it's about Latin kings and about gangs, and I think more about the social aspects of all these things and about people's childhoods, how they're brought up and where they end up. And it's a fascinating book. In fact, a very easy read. And you might want to check it out. It's from Chicago Review Press. Raimundo joins us. By the way, we should mention that that's a pseudonym for the author's actual name. Welcome to the show, Raimundo.
Thank you for having me, sir.
Nice to have you. It's an interesting book and kind of sad, but it has a nice happy ending. That's good.
Well, I don't see how the ending is too happy, but...
Well, I mean, the ending from my point of view is that you're now a family, living a normal family life at this point.
Yes.
So that's the good ending.
Yeah,
right?
That's the overall.
I mean, you could have ended up dead in the streets as well.
This is true.
And
the overall ending is definitely fantastic.
You were able to get out and be alive, which is good. Talk about your childhood. It wasn't a good one. Your dad died when you were about 4, and your stepfather wasn't the nicest, and your mother wasn't too either.
Yeah, seems like, well, you know, my mother, she was illiterate, or still is, and, you know, the only way she knew how to support the family was to, you know, be with a man, have a man support us, and she didn't make the wisest of decisions. She got together with a man in Chicago that was into illegal lottery dealing and had a grown son that was a heroin dealer. So we had, you know, a criminal aspect right there at home. And once she had a child that was his, then he became extremely physically abusive towards me and my siblings, that, you know, his stepchildren. And I guess my mother, the only way that she can relieve the anger and pain that she was suffering was to, you know, follow suit with his violence on us also.
There's nothing worse than that. I mean, really, when you're a little child, you depend on your parents for stability, and you had none.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, I mean, clearly wanting my mother to come and hold me and cradle me after, you know, my stepfather, you know, beat me just for doing my math homework and made me a you know, bloody, and all she did was, you know, grab an extension cord and continue what was already an extremely horrible beating to begin with. I remember many a times sleeping under the bed in order to avoid violence from either one of them. And you know, you just cower yourself into imaginary worlds where your family doesn't exist, and ultimately, you know, you find that imaginary world that you're looking for in real life out on the street, and you grab it and you embrace it, and once you're there, it's so hard to be taken out of it, because, you know, you just, for the first time in your life, you feel safe and you feel respected. You feel wanted.
Well,
that's how I ended up, you know, in the gangs.
Yeah, well, that, you know, that's interesting that the childhood you had would result in two things. One, looking for family, which you found in the Latin Kings, and the other one is looking for love, which you found in sexual liaisons with a number of people. As I said, I did read the book, and the part where Maria, who was 35 years old, taught you about sex when you were 13, at the time seemed pretty cool, but when you look back at it, it really was kind of a negative experience, wasn't it?
Yes. I mean, it was, yes, you're right. I mean, at that time, you know, I was, you know, all the guys in the neighborhood were like, oh, wow, you know, that's so cool. And I guess, you know, and to some point, you know, I thought it was cool too, but as I grew up to be an adult, and I've seen, you know, patterns within myself, like, you know, looking at women, you know, all women, regardless of who they are, what they look like, what, you know, part they have in my life as you know, sexual beings and nothing more. I mean, you know, they have a hard time looking beyond that. Of course, it's been a while, and I have fortunately realized that in myself, and I've gotten, you know, help. But I mean, you know, that's, it just created a monster within me that, you know, just had me looking at women as nothing but, you know, sexual beings, somebody to, people to have sex with, and nothing else. I mean, no emotion.
Yeah.
Nothing.
And I know that, you know, you went through a lot of different women in the book here, and, you know, some of them really cared for you, but the feeling was really not the same for you, was it?
Well, it's just a, it was just a mixture of things. I mean, you know, unfortunately, the women that I had in the earlier parts of my life where I was shaping up to be a young adult, you know, had negative effects. You know, my mother supposedly being the number one woman in my life, you know, extremely violent and uncaring. And then, you know, Maria, 35-year-old, helping herself to the innocence of a 13-year-old, you know, the girls in the gangs, you know, wielding guns, and had a girl in school that, you know, I thought was the love of my life, and, you know, have sex with me, and only to try to lead me, you know, to the gang that her real boyfriend was in, that just happened to be against the Latin King. So she was pretty much doing it to set me up to kill. So that kind of, you know, put a little damper on my idea of what, you know, the sweet innocent flowers these women are supposed to be.
Yeah, I mean, I look here, and that's one of the things that also caught my attention was Pebbles, when you were in the car with her, and they gave you a shotgun to kill somebody, and she told you, you know, she'd take care of you and, you know, do all kinds of sexual things to you when you were done.
Right.
And
right.
Didn't deliver it off. Actually, she was going out with someone else in the gang. And
right.
They were just using her as bait.
Right. She was only doing it just to entice me into, you know, pulling the trigger for the first time. And it worked. Yeah. I mean, the drugs and alcohol in my body, along with, you know, with the promise of sex with an extremely beautiful girl. It got my adrenaline rushing, and I pulled the trigger for the first time, and from then on, I mean, my popularity just grew, because that's how you become popular within the gang, is through your violent conquest.
They called you Little Loco, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Little Loco, little crazy guy.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool.
it may have been then. It's just something I'm extremely ashamed of now.
When you think of all the people who die from these things, and in the book it's pretty illustrated pretty plainly that, you know, if a black group's looking for a Puerto Rican, or a Puerto Rican's looking for a white guy, it doesn't matter who it is.
Right.
And innocent people are usually the ones that are killed, not gang members.
That is true, because for the most part, you know, you just go and you shoot, and you don't really look where you're shooting. You're just pulling the trigger, and you're running, and you're leaving. So, I mean, you leave behind a carnage, but You don't know if these people died, if they were actually in a gang, you know.
What can America do to stop the movement in gangs? I know the Latin Kings actually, we're in Boston, and I understand they are out in this area too, and in Rhode Island and in this area, right?
Yes, they are in that area, in Connecticut, New York, Jersey. They're pretty much all over.
It seems to me, let me just give you my opinion, you can tell me if you think it's accurate. It seems to me that if parents took care of their kids and you had normal circumstances with people staying together, mother and fathers raising their kids and people actually paying attention to their children and finding out what they're doing, giving them the love they deserve, that there wouldn't be too many of these people to join these things.
You hit it right on the button. You hit it right on the button. And of course, there's some fortunate situations where the parents can stay together. But, you know, that doesn't mean that you have to stop caring or loving for the kid yourself. I mean, you know, the fact is that you go into any community in the United States where there's gangs, and it doesn't have to be a Latino gang, a black gang, a white gang, doesn't matter. If you live there, you look out the window, what you see in the corner is your sons, your daughters, your nieces, your nephews, your kids' cousins, you know, because they live right there in the neighborhood, so therefore those kids belong to you. And the communities don't do nothing. I mean, they sit there and they're scared of their own children. In fact, they help it flourish by, when the police comes in the neighborhood, they deny their kids' involvement, knowing that their kids are involved. And the only time that they raise their voice to say anything is when their child has gotten killed right there on that same corner. So, I mean, yeah, you hit it right on the button until the parents, the community where these gangs are, get involved and realize that, hey, these are our children. This don't belong to the people on the next block. These kids don't belong to the cops or to the senators or to anybody. They belong to us. You know, we have to save them. Nothing's going to happen. You can put, you know, the National Guard out there every day, and they're still going to go on, you know, unless the parents get involved.
Some of these guys that you were friends with, Papo and Rican and Little Chino and all these other folks here, that Snake, any of these folks know that you wrote this book?
Oh, no, sir. Oh, no. I, you know, my family still lives around the Chicago area, and unfortunately, gangs are such that, you know, there's nothing really in that book that they don't already know.
I can't believe they couldn't figure out who wrote it. The point of view in it has got to be your point of view.
But, you know, that I've changed a lot of the actual, the order of where the things happen, changed the names. The only thing that I really use that's real are the names of the actual gangs in the city of Chicago.
Yeah.
And yes, there are some that can read this book and say, hey, wait a minute, I know about this, I was there, but they also know that there may be, you know, tens of hundreds or hundreds other guys or girls in the same, you know, area, neighborhood that they were, they can tell you the same story.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just a
The women who are in these gangs, and you mentioned sometimes these girls that are in the gangs, sometimes they look like they're not gang people. One of them was a woman who spoke really, really well and had a couple kids that was living with one of the gang guys, and I think her name was Nancy, if I remember correctly.
I think it was Marilyn.
Marilyn, yeah. But for the most part, from reading your book, it looks like these girls in these gangs don't get much respect. They're just used. But again, they're finding the same thing you're finding. They're finding a family and quote unquote love, I guess.
Right.
You know, just it's a kind of a sad thing.
It is, and you'd be surprised. I mean, you'd be surprised how many the talent and the intelligence that these kids have, but they have been put into a situation, into a corner, where they have been made to feel that outside of this little group, I'm nothing. And, you know, the people that put them in the situations are those that are supposed to be loving them the most, you know, their yeah. parents and family.
When you were 12 years old, you joined you pretty much were involved with the Latin Kings and stayed there till you were 24. What was it that said to you, you know, this is it, I got to get out of here, I got to do something else?
For one thing, you know, the change in the generational change, the gangs, of course, changed a lot as far as, you know, who they were fighting against. I mean, the Latin Kings ultimately became more of a danger to other Puerto Ricans than to anybody else. The new generation were more interested in, you know, in making money and everything than, you know, defending your honor or whatever your neighborhood, if
right.
that makes any sense.
Well, they're more into dealing and doing other things to make
right,
money.
Right, right. Yeah. And, of course, I was being asked, you know, to prove myself over and over, and it seems like every time I turn around, you know, my respect, whatever, was being questioned. And, you know, I went through a series of overdose and, you know, drug addiction and living on the streets. I mean, that's a total bum. And, you know, I kept running into a couple of people that had got out of the situation that, you know, kept, you know, telling me, you know, you don't have to be here and, you know, you can do this and, you know, and things like that ring through your head. And, you know, you just start thinking about yourself and, you know, I don't want to be here all my life, and your own gang threatened to kill you. And, you know, that kind of wakes you up.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of wakes you up when you have a gun, you know, put to your head by your own gang, you know, demanding you do something or they kill you.
Did you end up going to college?
Yes, I did.
You're the first one in your family, right?
Yes, I still have not graduated, but
yeah.
it'll happen soon, and I'm not giving up that dream.
Do you have any children?
Yes, I do.
And I assume that, you know that people who are abused tend to abuse their own children. I assume that you're working hard to avoid that pit.
I am totally clean. I have gone to such a transformation, and hopefully, you know, any of you listeners out there know that, you know, it's anybody can do it. I mean, all they have to do is just decide, put it in their head, and not take it out of their head that, you know, what's going out there is not right. Doing drugs, it doesn't leave anywhere. I mean, if you were to run into me now, other than, you know, a couple of telltale tattoos that I work hard on hiding when I'm, you know, around certain groups, you would never know. And I've been told that. And, you know, be honestly, that is the ultimate compliment when somebody that knows about the book, which, you know, are very, very few people that know that I was the one who wrote the book, and they sit there and look at me and say, you know, no way. I mean, you just don't look like, you know, you would have done this or gone through this. That is the ultimate compliment.
It is. Now, what about your family, like your sisters and stuff? Have you ever tried to help them out? And, you know, are you guys close at all?
No, I mean, you know, unfortunately, the violence and stuff that happened in the home kind of really tore us apart. For the most part, you know, they've all grown up, and I know of two that can really use, you know, a lot of help right now. But you know, I'm in a situation right now where, you know, I really
you gotta lay low.
Yeah, and I have to help myself and my family, my immediate family, before I can think of, you know, helping somebody else. But I do attempt to do it, and I do go there, and I find them, and I talk to them, and you know, they know firsthand where I've been.
Do you go back to the hood at all?
Just briefly. if just to step out there in the park and look around and see that I'm not missing anything.
Do you see any of the old gang guys?
Yes.
And what do they think when they, what do they say when they see you?
Hey man, come on, let's go get high. You know, these are, you know, 40-year-old men.
Yeah.
Already still sitting out there styling their colors, you know, thinking about where their next, you know, drug is going to come from. And, you know, if that's not enough to wake somebody up and say, wow, 40-year-old out there trying to get high, you know, I don't know what is. It's just ridiculous.
It's an amazing story, and I recommend everybody grab it. It's a great sociology type of book. It's called My Bloody Life, The Making of a Latin King. It's by Raimundo Sanchez, and it's from the Chicago Review Press, and you can pick it up on Amazon.com or actually at the PNPnetwork.com website or in a bookstore near you. And I want to wish you a lot of luck and congratulations on turning around your life the way you have.
Well, thank you so very much, and if any of you readers, your listeners, pick up the book and they want, you know, to make some comments or insights, they can email me. I answer all emails. I kind of like to interact with people that are reading the book, you know.
And what's your email address?
It's mybloodylife at Juno, J-U-N-O,
.com.
Yes.
Cool. All right. Do you have the free Juno or do you pay for the Juno?
Oh, the free one.
It's the only one to go by. If you're
that's
gonna
right,
get that.
That's right.
All right, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye. Bye.